So we are towards the end of Kuf Ayin Ches. I thought we'd get into Kuf Ayin Ches, but I think we're just doing the end of Kuf Ayin Ches this evening. A couple of pretty interesting issues here. So if we go to Kuf Ayin Ches in the Sif Beis, so the in the Torah/Beis Yosef, so the Torah says Misha Karov L'Malchus, that if somebody is Karov L'Malchus, so what that definition is ambiguous and controversial. But Karov L'Malchus means somebody who's going to be able to influence the king. So it's Sarah.
So I'm
Kuf Ayin Ches.
Misha Karov L'Malchus over here. So in the middle.
Vitzarech Lilbosh Kamabushim. So you want to dress like them. V'lidmos Lahem. To be like them. So Mutter B'Kol. So all these things are Mutter. It sounds like everything that we said in Sif Aleph that is problematic is going to be okay if the idea is to be Karov L'Malchus. So where does this idea come from? And then, second of all, why should things be mutter? Right? So where does this come from? So if he, so the Beis Yosef says, at the end of Besof Perak Meruba Besof Sota, Tanya Avtulus Bar Ruven, Hitiru Lesaper Kumi, Vifnei Shekarov L'Malchus Haya. That Avtulus Bar Ruven was permissible or permitted to get a haircut in the Kumi style. So what is the Kumi style? So Rashi, their comments, Hasar mi ozen, that the what we described last week as being mi ozen le ozen v'aniach hapareha, to not shave the back, only shave the front. It sounds like from ear to ear. So only have the back of your hair have hair, and not the front of your back of your head have hair, not the front of your head. So this guy got the kumi haircut because he was Karov L'Malchus. And from there we can learn out to everything else. And the Gemara cites him approvingly. Similarly, Rabbi Gamliel's base Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, so they were permitted to learn Chachmas Yevanis for the same reason, and that's the language of the Rambam as well. Next paragraph. So we have this permissibility on the books for somebody who is Karov L'Malchus. Next paragraph. V'im Tomar, you say, wait a second. Keva de Midoraisa Asiri Hanach Mili, that because these things are prohibited on the level of Doraisa, Milk and Nami Lucky, even get Malchus Alayu, Heya Chayav Koach Biad Chacham Lahatir Isser Torah Lukruvi Malchus. How could such a thing be better for such a scenario? That we only permit Torah prohibitions when it's Yehorek Valyavor. Or not Yehorek Valyavor, too, when it's Pikuach Nefesh. And it's not one of the big three that are Yehorek Valyavor. So that's when you're allowed to violate an Isser Doraisa. So why was this fellow permitted to violate an Isser Doraisa? So V'yesh Lomar. So the answer. So answer. He gives two answers here. It's important to notice that there's two answers going on here. V'yesh Lomar. Number one, Dimishum Hatzalas Yisrael Yesh Koch Biyadam Lahatir. That because he's saving Jews, they have the permissibility to do this. The V'yesh Yisrael Krov L'Malchus Omdim Beferetz Levata Hagaseres. That it's good to have Jews that are able to step into the gap. In order to be Mavatel Gezeros, as we find by the story of Reuven ben Atzderobli in Me'ila, and also we find by that fellow who was talked about, the Yisav Pirka de Chaside, who was known as being a Chassid, in Maseches Tainus. What are those two stories talking about? They're both interesting, very interesting stories. So the Gemara in Me'ila, about this fellow, Reuven ben Atzderobli, what was his story? So here the story was... that there was once a gezer of the Malchus, Shel Yishmer was a Shabbos, v'shel Izan Me'ilu Yudzayin Amar Aleph, Shel Yishmer was a Shabbos, v'lo Yamolu es B'nehem, v'she Yivalu es Anidos, that they have to do these three things. They have to violate Shabbos, they have to not give Brisim, and they also have to have Biyu with Nidos. Now, I don't really know how that is enforced, other than you just close the mikvahs, as I assume that's what's going on. But those three things. So Rabbi Reuven ben Isterobli, v'siper Komi. So he went out and got the Komi haircut, got the Komi do. V'halach v'yashav imahem. This isn't in your Beis Yosef, this is just I'm reading from the Gemara here. So he sat with them. Now, it seems like they also didn't know that he was Jewish. He just went and pretended he wasn't Jewish. Amar lahem, Mishiyesh lo oyiv yani oyashri. He says, if you have an enemy, do you want to be poor or you want to be rich? He said, we want to be poor. So he says, great, so you should have them work on Shabbos, because that way they'll work one less day a week and they'll be able to be poor. And he says, and also, do you want them to be... they said you did well, so they got rid of that's a good ha'ara. They got rid of they got rid of the Shabbos gezeira, meaning they permitted the Shabbos observance. And then he came back to them and says, "Mishiyishul oyv yachishul yavri." Do you want them to be strong or do you want them to be weak? He said, "Of course, you want them to be weak." He said, "Great, so you should give them bris milah so that they'll be weaker." Ah, good point. So they got rid of the Bris Milah, and then they said, oh, and one more thing, do you want them to increase or do you want them to decrease? Do you want them more children or less children? So Amru Lo Yisaita said, we want to go down. So Imkain Lo Yivalu Nito said, that's the case, so you shouldn't let them have... let them not have bia with the nidos, meaning which is a little bit odd. I mean, I don't know how you. I mean, you should make it so that they don't have to be with them; they'll have less bia, as it sounds like. So, I'm not sure how exactly they were enforcing that. I mean, it's a little different than just closing the mikvahs. He's saying you should. I want them to have more. No, yes, I know you can't. You're not going to have children by having bia with a woman.
We know that today, but they
didn't know. They didn't know.
So
fine.
This guy disguised himself,
right.
And
right.
He then. Okay.
He disguised himself, right. So Imru Tavis Amaravit Lua, they said, oh, he said well, and they annulled the decree.
There's somebody out there, we don't know what.
Yeah,
where is he?
Out in the hall. Okay, so that's the story with this this fellow. Then ultimately they found out that he was Jewish. When they realized he was Jewish, then they put all the gazeres back on, and they went on to another way of how to annul the gazeres. So that's number one. So that's example number one. So why was it permissible for him to do these things, violating Nisr D'Oraisa in order to annul these gazeres? So it sounds like, which is a little odd, right? But it sounds like the only permissibility was because he's Karav L'Malchus, not because he's annulling the gazeres. You're not allowed to violate Nisr D'Oraisa in order to annul those gazeres. It's only because of the Karav L'Malchus dispensation for this issue. The other example he gives here is the story about that Pirkei de Chassidi, that guy. Who is that? So that's a Gemara in Tainus, where it says somebody was hanging out with Eliyahu Anavi. Who was it? Rav Baroka used to be around with Eliyahu Anavi. And one time Rav Baroka says to him, is there anyone around here that's going to go to Olam Haba? So he says, no. And then in the meantime, another guy shows up. A certain person walks by, and he's wearing black shoes, and he has no tzitzis on the corners of his garment. So it sounds like that's the riot. He's dressed like a non-Jew. That's what it sounds like. That fellow is dressed like a non-Jew. Now, we've talked about the black shoes. It means that you are. that you are Jew. The Jews not to wear black, or the black suit. But apparently that was the issue. So Amar Leh, so Eliyahu says to him, hi, but that guy, he's going to Olam Haba. So he runs after him and says, "Nu, what do you do for a living?" He says, "Oh, go away and come back tomorrow." Okay. The next day, Rav Baroka comes and says, "Nu, what do you do for a living?" He says, "Ah, zandukana ana. I am a jail guard. Vasarna gabri luchud v'nashi luchud. And while I'm in charge of the jails, the men and women, I have them be in separate places. So urmana purayin bain hani lahani, and I place my bed between them so that they don't mix. Kehidilo leisu leideyasir, so that they don't come to a prohibition. Kichazin v'bas Yisrael the yavi nafkam aleinayu, and I once saw that there was this girl that the goyim had their eyes on. So mesarin afshay matzileni lach. I risked my life and I saved her. How did I do that? When I see this happening, so I risk my life for her. How do I do it? One day there was this girl who they wanted. So the Yavuba Nachrim Inayu, and that the Nachrim had focused their eyes on her. So Shakli Durdaya Dechamra, so I took leads of wine, and Ushdaili Le Bishipula, and I threw it on the lower part of her skirt, so it looks like she was a Nida. For Amidi Stana'ana, I said, oh, she's a Nida right now, she's menstruating right now, so you don't want to be with her. And so what's he doing here? So it sounds like he's violating these things to be an undercover protector of the Jews. So it's also not exactly a Karav L'Malchus, a little different than a Karav L'Malchus, but still somebody that's going to do this in order to help Jews out. So that's Heter number one that's mentioned here. He gives one other example, I'm not sure what he's referring to. The Ches Yeladim Shayu L'David, Shayu Misifrei Komi U'Migdali Blorios, that the eight children of David, there's no source for that. At least in my Beit Yosef, I didn't have a source for that, that David had. That they also grew their hair in Komi and Blorio style. So Hanachnam Mishum Hatzalis Yisrael Sharu Lehu Dahabu Azli Beroshi Geisus Lehutei Aydin. Right. So to these people, they in order to save Jews, so they would violate these dinim. Okay, that's answer number one. Now, why is it permissible? Because they're saving Jews. It doesn't exactly get into. Okay, so what exactly is the heter to always be in that state? But that seems to be the assumption. The second thing that he gives there, Ode Shlomar. Shatora lo pirsha davar elastama, that the Torah isn't explicit. The Torah is gives very vague about what this prohibition uvechukoseihem lo seilechu. It's very vague about what that is. In fact, it's not clear at all what that is. So el stama v'kasa uvechukoseihem lo seilechu u'masar hadavar l'chachamim, and it was given over to chachamim to interpret what that meant and actually to impose their dinim on it. There are a couple of dinim like this. We've discussed it in the past under different context. There is that the Torah is vague about what it is. Hilchos Chol Hamoed is one of them. Hilchos Avelus is one of them. That Hilchos Yom Kippur is one of them. That the Torah says something vague, and the Chum define what the Isser D'Oraisa is. So you are violating the Din D'Oraisa, but the Rabbanon are the ones that defined what that Din D'Oraisa was. So to here, Behim Asu Dvarim Elu L'Shar B'nei Adam V'lo Ro L'Asum L'Krovin L'Malchus. So the Chachamim, when they established what the prohibition was of uvechukoseihem lo seilechu, they said it's only going to apply to 99% of the Jews, but the 1% that are karv l'malchus, it's not going to apply to them. And that's the din that's mentioned here by the Beis Yosef. Okay, good so far. So if we go to the so again, two reasons. Actually, while you're there, one more thing. The Bach kind of gives a slightly different answer. In the Bach, that is, for me, Zion. There's a Bach with the Zion next to it. It's about four lines before the end of the Siman. There, so you have Zion there. So go to the top of the next page, because he asks this question as well. Right in the middle of that paragraph, it says, V'li nira, the Leka HaChakusha, that there's no Kasha here. Why? The lashon uvechukoseihem lo seilechu lo mashma ela sherotzel hi stamos ulinag kmosan. That the prohibition, and we talked about this last week, of chukas hagayim is to be like them. That it looks like shenir shemo deledaitam, that you are admitting to them. Lashon hasefri hol vehin yotzin ba'argman afaniyosi ba'argman. Like a person who says they're going out in this purple clothing, argman, and so too I want to do as well. About Misha Ain Daitul is Damaslam, if your motivation is not to be like them. El Shitzark Libushkam Shem Lhidmuslahem Kidesha Lo Yel Lo Gnai Im Lo Yidmalahem, you just want to dress like them, said you're not embarrassed for not dressing like them. Davizelo Asratar. So that wasn't prohibited. Below Alav Kaya Lava Hakimash Balashara, sounds like from the Rabbam, etc. So what's he saying? That here you're only doing it for a different purpose. You're not doing it to be like them, to admit that like they're right. You're doing it for an ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. So therefore that's why the Bach would be would say that it's permissible. So three reasons. Number one, pikuach nefesh would make it permissible. Number two, someone whose karv l'malchus was never included in the prohibition. Mm-hmm. And number three of the Bach, that because it's clear what reason you're doing it, by definition you're not included in the prohibition. So if we go to the Shulchan Aruch itself.
So karv l'malchus doesn't mean you have to see important people.
Oh, hold on. We'll the karv l'malchus discussion. We'll get to the karv l'malchus discussion. So comes the Kufayin Ches Sif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says very simply and innocently, Nishahu karv l'malchus v'tzarek libush ma'bushehem v'lidmos lehem mutter bakol. That if you're a karv l'malchus and you want to dress like them and be like them or look similar to them, that all of these things are permissible. The haircuts, as long as you don't violate other prohibitions in the Torah with the haircuts, the dress, all of that is mutter. So the Shach doesn't make a comment on it. The Taz makes a comment. The Taz says in Taz and Kufayin Ches Hey, the Taz comments, Va'afal gav d'chol ha'nisker b'simen zeh hu b'chlal u'b'kuseyem lo seilechu v'ein b'kol chacham lakor davar min ha'Torah, says even though this is all in an Isser Doraisa of u'b'kuseyem lo seilechu, and the Chacham don't have the power to just remove that Isser Doraisa, mikol makom hacha shani, this is different. Why? Kimet shelo pirsha ha'Torah shum davar u'masvel chacham v'heim ro lahati l'krovin l'malchus. That this is different because the Torah never mentions explicitly what it is. It was given over to the Chacham to define, and therefore the Chacham defined it as not including the prohibition of the dress for those that are Karav L'Malchus. Fine. So this issue of who is Karav L'Malchus and what is Karav L'Malchus, so that came to a head 7.5 years ago. Yeah, 7.5 years ago on January 21st, 2009, when the day after the inauguration. The tradition is the day after the inauguration, they go to the National Cathedral, the president goes to the National Cathedral, and they have some kind of service there. So some may recall here, I don't know, that there was an Orthodox rabbi in attendance, Rabbi Haskell Lipstein from KJ, was invited and offered words of prayer on behalf of the president, and this became a major issue, to the point that the RCA put out a press release saying that he might have did this, but we don't approve of it. We don't think this is the right thing to do. And then Rabbi Lichtenstein published a letter which he sent out to RCA members, which I don't remember receiving, but he had. And then that led to a dialogue. This might have started on the RCA listserv. I don't remember, but it ultimately made its way to become an article in an issue of Chakira. There's an article in Chakira that is entering a sanctuary for Hatzalas Yisrael in exchange by Rabbi Michael Broyd and Rabbi Kenneth Alman. So those two, they had an exchange back and forth of six letters it wasn't for Chakira. I think it then got published in Chakira, with both of their permissions, obviously, as a machlokes about this issue. So what was the issue with Rabbi Lichtenstein in the first place going in? So we learned the issue, right? One isn't supposed to go into other houses of worship. And the National Cathedral, I believe, is a Catholic church. I'm pretty sure it's a Catholic institution.
A cathedral could just
all right, maybe I take that back. Maybe
it's will it be closed?
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, the service held at the National Sanctuary. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. An Episcopalian church. Now, Episcopalian, I believe they're like Reform
like
Catholics. But I think they still maintain, I think the same issue of Vota Zara for Catholics would apply to Episcopalians.
Like
I think.
Catholics would have the Pope.
No, it's not. So, your grandchildren?
Cannot
what?
They are Catholics without the Pope.
Right, but they also are. They're extremely right. Liberal, and they say about Jews that Jews vote Baptist, and how do they say that? What Jews? The Jews live like Episcopalians, but vote like Baptists. That's what they say. So, anyways. So Rabbi Lichtenstein, in his letter, the very first Ari, he says, I think I was right, and I think I did the right thing, and I was supposed to do it. And his first quote that he quotes is, the Shulchan Aruch notes in Yoredeya 178:2, that a person who needs to be close to the government may wear even the Torah-prohibited garments of a Gentile in order to represent the Jewish community well. The prohibition to enter a church is grounded in the desire to avoid the appearance of impropriety rather than an actual impropriety. I mean, the prohibition of going to church is that less people say that you're doing a Avodah Zarah, right? That's the way we learned it. It was a Maris Ayin issue, not really an actual Chetzah issue. So indeed, wearing garments of Gentiles is a Torah prohibition, and entering church is generally thought to be a rabbinic one. I mean, I was only violating this Siddur Rabbanan. The Torah here in Kuf Ayin Ches seems to matter even in Siddur Aisa. So I should be okay for the purpose for this. So, and I want to be close to the king. There are many chief rabbis in England that have gone to Westminster Abbey. And he quotes a story from Rabbi Broyd. Rabbi Broyd says that he was once sent to represent the government of Israel and is supposed to at a meeting that was supposed to be within a church. And the Tzitz Eliezer told him that he should go. There's some questions about that story, but okay. Of course, such events are few and far between, but we generally don't do it. But I felt that it was important, and I got a few words in with President Obama, and I could speak truth to power, and I thanked him for his support of Israel, and I urged him that he shouldn't forget the statement he made in Stay Rote, that if someone was shooting, would shoot rockets into my house while my daughters were sleeping, I would do anything in my power to make sure they wouldn't do it again. Okay, good for him to remember that continually. Anyways, so then there were, then there was this exchange of letters of back and forth. So that was his suggestion, based on this, machaber saying that I should be able to do it. Right? Broyd says as well, right, that you can't, he says the definition of Karov L'Malchus, and the Beis Yosef seems to allude to this, is that you have to do things in order to be in a position of Karov L'Malchus. You can't just assume, oh, when the time comes, so then I'll be able to go ahead and do these things. This is kind of all in preparation for being Karov L'Malchus. So because there's a Tzalas Yisrael involved, and Rabbi Lichtenstein's defense, he writes, He writes, maybe I'll be able to save a few Jews because of my words to him. Maybe he'll take it easier on Israel at some point. So therefore, it should be mutter. That's the, although it's longer than what I just said, that was Rabbi Broid's argument, at least pertaining to the sugya that we're doing. So Rabbi Alman, who is the rabbi in Flatbush, so he points out right away that if you look in the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef gives two answers as to why it's okay. Answer number one is because of Atzalas Nefashos, and the answer number two is because of the vagueness of this mitzvah. So Rabbi Alman claimed, and this is, I think he had two main riots, this is one of them. He said, that's only a Chukas Hagayim issue. It's only a Chukas Hagayim issue because that is a vague mitzvah. But the issues having to do with going into a church, that's not pertaining to a Chukuseim Lo Seilechu issue. That is a Avodah Zarah issue. You're going to tell me it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. Okay, but that's a different category. The only heter here of Karol HaMalchus, and to my knowledge, there aren't other, I guess the Gemara talked about a heter to learn Chachmas Yevanis also. So those are the only things that the Gemara mentions that there's a heter Karol HaMalchus. Karol HaMalchus is not this general... It's not this general heter that we use regularly. It's a local issue to only here. So who says that you could then extend the heter of Karvel Malchus to other issues? So says Rabbi Alman, we should hold like the second answer of the Taz, not like the first answer, sorry, the second answer of the Beis Yosef, not the first answer. How do I know to hold like the second one and not the first one? Because the Taz passes like the second one. The Taz said the reason is because this is an Ubuchuseim Lo Seilechu issue and not other things. And then his further raya, his further proof that he brings is that we learned the din of going into churches. And we learned, and Shulchan Aruch in fact talks about going into churches under extenuating circumstances. That was in Siman Kufnin Zion. And when did it matter going into a church? Under what circumstances to permit going into a church? So it says only b'shas gezeira. I mean, only when there's a person's life is at stake. And that's only the opinion of the Ramah. The Beis Yosef held that it was aser legamri. The Beis Yosef seemed to say even in a case of Yehorig Val Yavor, you would be able to go in a church. The Ramah matered it, and the Ramah only matered it in a case of pikuach nefesh. So this isn't the case of pikuach nefesh. So if you were right, Rabbi Broid, if you were correct, so then the issue of the Ramah would have added that in also. Right? It should be mutter to go into a church, A, for bikuach nefesh, or B, in order to be karvel malchus. The fact that he didn't include that as an exception, so that shouldn't be permissible. And then the other big aspect of their give and take is about who's defined as karvel malchus. I mean, Rabbi Lipstein said, so I'm karvel malchus, because I'm going to get to speak to President Obama, and I'm going to be able to mention these three sentences to him, which hopefully will have an impact. So it comes, Rabbi Alman says, that's not Karvel Malchus. Karvel Malchus doesn't mean you get to shake his hand and mention two sentences. Karvel Malchus means the people that have continuous relationships with the President of the United States. So the two examples that he gives are the Malcolm, our local hero, Malcolm Holmline, or Nathan Diamond. People like that. People that have that their jobs is the shtadlanus. Their job is to maintain these close relationships with the president. Right? Rabbi Scherer would qualify as Karov Lamalchus. Sort of,
AD
would qualify as Karov. He's not really on a national level.
Not on a national level.
Right, so I'm... Right, but without mocking him to go to churches. It does talk about in the biography of Rav Scherer that he, Dafka, would not go to churches for... He had a very close relationship with Governor Carey in New York, and he talks about how he didn't go, and like that was okay, meaning you explain yourself to the governor, you have a relationship with him, and you're able to work it out. So I'd be surprised if AD would go into a if his job would lead him into a church.
So this is Yechiel Eckstein, who has this organization who raises millions and millions of dollars from the Catholics to support Aliyah.
International fellows?
Right.
Okay. I think he goes into churches.
Into the sanctuaries?
I don't know. I don't know the details. I remember it was an issue like 20, 30 years ago, but he's very, very successful at raising money.
Okay.
Yes, he's Orthodox. He went to Wyoming. That doesn't mean anything. He doesn't mean he's Orthodox, but he did. But I think he wasn't. Yechiel Eckstein.
Okay. I, in my experiences, these things are often worked out. I've had some dealings with Catholics, and often these things are able to be worked out. These things are negotiated in advance, and they're worked out. Now, in Rabbi Luchstein's defense, it's a little more complicated here. Let me just finish that. So that's their machlokas. They have a machlokas throughout all six letters on that issue. Is a rabbi of a shul, is that considered karav l'malchus, or is he not? I had the ha'ara that the examples that we had in the Gemara of karav l'malchus, neither of them were tanaim ramarayim. They were guys. They were people that happened to be in positions of having relationships. They weren't the rabbanim. So it's unclear. I seem to hear Rabbi Alman's point more than Rabbi Broid. However, there is one thing to make in that defense, and Rabbi Broid does make this point, that even if you want to say that he's not Karav L'Machlus, the Orthodox movement in a way is. And the rules that Obama specifically wanted, a representative from each denomination to be there. So I think it's well known, Rabbi Luchstein was not the first choice. Someone else was asked, and that person declined for halakhic reasons. And then they came to him, and he agreed. So that maybe there's a more of an argument to be made that we're going to have everybody give wishes to Obama, and the Orthodox Jew is going to be the one group that's going to be left out of all the denominations across of all religions in this country. On the other hand, is that really true? Is that really true that if you make a principled stand and says, I'm sorry, our law doesn't permit us to go in, is it really true that that really would have had some kind of devastating effect on the Orthodox community? It's hard to know. I'm not in a position to make a judgment at that point. What exactly would have been the after effects is hard to it's hard to say. So that is issue number one, the issue of Karav L'Malchus. Yeah, questions, comments, sorry. This is available online, by the way, if anybody wants. Kira, the given thing.
Naaman comes to mind. Naaman was cured from the leprosy by Elisha.
Right.
And apparently became a convert. He said, the exception is when my master goes into the temple, bow down to his God, I have to go with him. Maybe even pray, bow down with him. Of course, he wasn't Jewish. He was just a seven mitzvahs, but nevertheless, there's this whole discussion. I never figured out what the point of it is. Is he saying that whether
Alicia
says that's okay or not, he doesn't say anything.
Okay, I'm not sure. I gotta look back at that. I don't remember.
Maybe
okay, there's one more issue, and why it's see why it's here. If you could go back to the Tour Beis Yosef.
So I'm not sure I understood the difference. Why Rabbi Alman,
yeah.
Why he said it wasn't okay?
So he held three. There were three arguments that he said. Number one is he says we paskin like that the reason the Taz at least it seems to paskin that the reason why there's a heter of karav l'malchus in this situation is because specifically in the area of chukusei and losi lechu the prohibition is vague and the rabbanim get the right to define what the prohibition is and they excluded karav l'malchus from that prohibition. So you can't, if that's the case, you can't extend that and say, oh, if Karav L'Malchus is mutter in this situation, it should also be permitted in that situation.
Okay.
Right? Karav L'Malchus, so therefore I can violate Kashrus D'Rabbanan. Mm-hmm. Therefore I can, it's hard, you can't make that leap to further things. That was A. B, the Shulchan Aruch does talk about going into churches, and it only seems to matter, the Mechaber says it's usar under all circumstances, and the only matters it during a Shas of Gezerah. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't qualify as a Shas Gezerah, you're just trying to avoid a Shas Gezerah. And then the third thing is, he raised doubts as to whether a rabbi of a shul, even if it's a very powerful shul, really qualifies as being Karav L'Malchus. He's a very important Jewish figure, but he's not, the Karav L'Malchus is somebody who's going to have an ongoing relationship with the king, not somebody who's going to have a few words here or there.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the National Cathedral, but is it used on a regular basis for worship on Sundays?
Rabbi Broid suggested that because the advertisement for this, or the program for this, was specifically many... there will be readings of all faiths. So I thought maybe that's mevatel its status of being a church for that time. That was an argument that he made. I don't know. It's a little hard to say. I would assume that whoever runs that church wasn't Mavatala for that time. You know, they hold it's our church and we're welcoming the president into our church.
Mm-hmm. The leadings from all faiths.
Yeah.
The Christians have readings from our faith on a regular basis. I mean, what's the big deal?
I don't understand.
Well, our Hindus
now. No, they will have.
Readings from our
faith. I mean, every faith will give their
blessings
to the president.
Like Republican convention, yeah, they have Hindus and all kinds of things also.
Yeah. Okay, so that's that was okay. So if you turn back to the Beis Yosef for Gimel, this is not mentioned in the Torah. The Beis Yosef just speaks up about this himself. He quotes a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Garcina Meperek Chelik Sanhedrin. So I'm Rav Elazar Kol She'enu Mishayir Pas Al Shulchano Enu Roasim and Bracha Liolam. That the Gemara says anybody who doesn't leave bread on their table will not see a Simon Bracha based on this pasuk in Iyov in the Beis Yosef Gimel.
Yes. Garcina. Oh, Garcina, the Kuf Ayin test.
Yeah, a lot of
them. Yeah. So there are a couple of different things that I learned out from this pasuk in Iyov, but this is one of the things that it mentions. So so bracha liolam shemar in shirid liachlo, sorid liachlo. Ein sarid liachlo al kein lo yachil tuvo. There is no remnant of his food, therefore his goods will not prosper. So the Gemara, right? There is no leftover from his food. So if you get rid of all your food, so then you're gonna lose this bracha. So the Gemara asks, "V'ha'amar Rabbi Elazar kol hamishayir pesisin al shulchanu kilu ovid avodah zara." But wait a second, we have a different statement, Rabbi Elazar, that if you leave bread on your table, you violated avodah zara. Why? There's this pasuk of ha'orchim legad shulchan v'mamalim lemani memesach. That if one who he set his table for God was the name of an avodah zara, and you fill cups of wine for many is also the name of an avodah zara. So you if you set the table and no one's eating anymore, so that's like you're setting it for a avodah zarah. So how do you? Which one is it? You're supposed to have food there. You're not supposed to have food there. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha had the ika shleima behedya had the leika shleima behedya." That one is talking about where there was a full loaf, and one is talking about where there wasn't. I mean, to set it for a avodah zarah, that means to put out a full loaf, while to set it for while to just have it at the end of benching. So that's talking about. That's talking about just leaving crumbs behind. So Upeirish Rashi, Sahad Kamra Usar Deika Shlema Behedya, Shemaybi Shlema La'achar Sha'achal. So Rashi there explains that which is Usar, that where there's a full loaf, that's where you brought a full one. That's where you brought a full one after they eat. V'nosin ala shulchan, then you place it on the shulchan, im hapsisin. With the pieces that were left over, and it looks like you're doing it for avodah zarah. To bring out a new loaf from the kitchen, so that's a problem. If there's no full loaf, so that looks like you're setting it aside for the poor people. And then he concludes by saying, I don't know why the poskim left this out. Seems like the Rambam left it out. Most Rishonim aren't commenting in the middle of Parakalek, but at least the Rambam doesn't see. This isn't quoted in the Rambam. So he quotes this din, that you're supposed to have pieces of food on the table still when you bench. Sort of, if a poor person shows up, you'll be able to give him some food. Or if that's like a simen bracha. It's talked about that just like Elisha, he had to get oil from a small thing of oil. So too, bracha comes from the small piece of bread that's left over. So that is an inyan. That's a thing. It's mentioned in Orach Chaim as well, to have a little bit of bread left over. But to bring a full loaf of bread onto the table, so that's something that's prohibited because that's considered darkei amori. So if we go to the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see a surprising connection of this. Shulchan Aruch says, Kufayin Chesed Gimel, the Misha'achol V'Shayer P'sisin Al Shulchano, one who eats and leaves over pieces of bread on their table, Lo Yavi Pashlema V'Niach Al HaShulchan. So you shouldn't bring a full loaf and put it on the table. So there's stuff that's going to be left there, and you shouldn't bring other stuff there. And the Shach quotes sources for that. Comes the Rama and says, Yesh Makomos, there are places, by the way, Shenagu Laroch Shulchan, V'lashum Alav Minei Meichel, V'lashum, you say V'lashum Alav? You know, it's Shum, Asam, right? You would, people that would set the table, and they would put food on there, on that table, Belaila, at the night, Shalamachar Malin Tinok. Or the next day, they're going to give a bris to the kid. So the night before they have a bris for the kid, they set the table. So comes the Rambam, says, that's a big problem. That seems to be a violation of this din. V'yesh bazeh iser mishum orchin legad shulchan. That seems to be a violation of this din of setting the table for God. Aval, laroch mita lemazel hatinok yesh matir. But to set a bed for the mazel of the tinok, so that there are those that are matir. So he doesn't say that it's a mitzvah to do. He just says that there are those that say that that's okay. All right. So this, there is an idea that we have in our tradition, or some have in their tradition, called having a vachnach, that the night before a baby has their bris, so the people come over and the baby say shema for the baby, and so that seems to be some connection of that to what this Rama is talking about, but. But that's not doesn't seem to be exactly what the Rama is talking about. So how does this fit in with that? So the Shach comments v'yish baze iser that there is an iser of setting the table. He says mikol makom ashenogim ba'artzus elu. That's in Poland. But what they do in our country in Lithuania she'osin seuda balayla where they make the meals at night shilamachar malin hatinok where the next day they're going to have a bris. In iser, that's not prohibited. The dafka l'ashum mini Michael al ashukhl anicham kachas. The only iser is putting it on the table and leaving it there. Mishum dahavi ka'orach legad shulchan. That's like setting it for a avodah zarah. About b'seud, but to have a meal in iser. So that there's no prohibition. So it seems like he's saying that there was this minhag of people coming over the night before a bris and having a meal. So comes the Pischei Tshuva in Beis and says, quotes that Shach and says, Umashma de mitzvah vadai leisbe. Yeah, there's no mitzvah of doing this. Ve'enu nikr sudas mitzvah. It's not actually a sudas mitzvah. Ve'kein kasa b'tshuvas chavus yair simin ayin. And that's quoted in the Tshuva of the Chavos Yair. What is that Tshuva of the Chavos Yair talking about? Tshuva of the Chavos Yair apparently was asked, I think, about the 9 days, like what qualifies as a Sudas Mitzvah and what doesn't. So he goes through all the different permutations of things Jews do and wondering whether it's a Sudas Mitzvah or not. And apparently a Vachnach didn't make the list. So Vachnach doesn't qualify as a Sudas Mitzvah. However, the Dogel Mirvava says that perhaps there is a little bit even of a more reference to this actually in the Gemara itself. The Dogel Mirvava on the side of the page, or at least for me on the side of the page, for you it's on the bottom. The Dogel Mirvava is, I think, one of the Ha'aros.
Oh, right down at the bottom right.
On the bottom, yeah. So Dogel Mirvava says, Masha Amru Baba Kama, Daf Pei Amid Aleph, Lebe Yeshua Haben Shapirshu. That there's nothing to do with that. The Gemara there has a conversation between two Amorayim, I think Shmuel and two others. I forget which. There were three Amorayim, and they were trying to decide amongst each other which one should go through a door first. Because, right, going through first is a sign of covet. So they're trying each of the, one. It was a triple Rebbe Talmud relationship. I mean, one taught the other one, who taught the other one, who taught the first one. So they're trying to figure out amongst themselves who should be the first one that's gonna go in. So where were they going into? So they're going into Levei Yeshua HaBen Shapirshu. This Be Yeshua of saving the child that had separated. So what is that? What was this thing that they were going to? What was the event? So Tosu Shem Rabbeinu Tam Shayu Osen Seudas Al Shem Shenose Mimei Imo. They were doing a Suda for the fact that they took the child out of the mother, meaning that the child actually had gotten out. Nir Lefianias Daisi Shayu Ragilim Lasso Suda Zu Belaila Shekodem Hamila. This is part of this festivities, and they would do this Suda the night before the Bris. Lismoch Seuda Zu Samach Lemitzvah Mila. In order to have this Suda close to the Mila. That Trumas Edesh talks about being on the Leil Shabbos, meaning this might have been the source for Shalom Zachar. That's what developed into the into Shalom Zachar. So similar Shalom Zachar. So Kasha Lama in Osan Suda Gamlin Akeva, plus he asks, why don't they do it for girls also? Shugam Kain Bimilta Mirachim, they're also separated from the Rachim, Vilfianias Daisi, Mashon Bisan Hejun Tafalan Bez and Bez, or Hanir Baror, Chel Mishte Sham, that this is the name of this place, Baror Chel is the name of a place that where they would light a fire in that place, that means that they were having a meal. Hainu Nir Shayu Dolkin Belel Shekod the Milu Mishte Zu. That's talking about having a fires in the house the night before a Mila. So apparently there was these minhagim of having this Suda, some kind of Suda the night before the Bris. Whether that developed into what is commonly known today as being a Vachnach or not is unclear. It's not going that far. It's not going that far back. So it seems like that this might be. This is quoted as the makor for that din. So apparently, but the Ramah says if you're just going to put a lot of food on the table and nobody's going to come, that's usher because that might be a violation of putting it out l'shem avodah zara or darkei amori or something.
It's only just bread.
Well, he doesn't mention bread. Laruch shulchan minei meichel. I love Mine Michael, Belaila, Shalomachar, Valentino. The Ramah doesn't mention bread. The Gemara itself is talking about bread. But if the Sfar is, we're setting the table for this Avodah Zarah is coming in. So what then.
If it, any type of food. What if they copy all the Lechem HaPanim?
This is the Zayd, right?
Mice, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
I don't understand the question. I want to have a meal, I put out food, why is there a question about.
No, you're putting it out after the meal.
For the next meal. I mean,
you're putting. Right, so that's what you're saying you shouldn't do. You shouldn't put bread on the table at the end of the meal.
But if people
when no one's going to eat it.
For another meal, then you can.
Tomorrow.
I don't see why that would even.
No, but that people wouldn't do. You would only put out. Because apparently that was a practice that people did. So they're saying it's okay to leave scraps out in case an ani comes. But to put out a full challah on the table is a problem. Now I think the Mishnah Berurah actually in Hilchos, the Mishnah Berurah when talks about this in Or HaChaim says that on Shabbos it's mutter.
I was going to say what about Shabbos?
Yeah, that there's an idea of having kavod Shabbos and putting it out on Shabbos right. for the meal that's coming. So the Mishnah Berurah matters it for Shabbos, but apparently there's this idea of not doing it the other time. So.
Or you're not supposed to do something for the temple outside.
Okay.
So,